This is Wine and Dine in LA with Anoush, where I talk about wine in a fun and approachable way and bring you all insights of the world of wine.
Hello and welcome to another episode of Wine and Dine in LA. I hope you had a great and productive week and ready to enjoy your weekend. So as always, I would suggest pour yourself a glass of wine and get comfortable because I'm positive that today's conversation is going to inspire you to make something delicious and enjoyed with your family for the upcoming weekend. Our guest today is Chef Arthur Grigorian. Hi, Arthur. How are you?
Hi, Anoush. I'm great. Thank you.
Thank you so much for spending your Friday with us, sharing your story, which you're going to be in a minute, and maybe sharing some recipes and tips for home cooks who are, you know, interested in grilling, in smoking, but have never actually were able to do that. So would love to know and learn some tips from you. But before we go into that, I like to start my interviews by getting to know more about my guest's background, heritage, because ultimately, I think where the person comes from transfers into their food, into their wine, into the way of they make things. So why don't you share with us, Arthur, where you're from and what is your story?
Sure. So I was actually born here in Los Angeles, and I'm actually the first American in my family. Both my parents are from Yerevan. My father is from Yerevan, and my mother is actually, her background goes to Sisian, where the Karahunj is. And so, so me being the first American here, it was always, food was always a big part of my life growing up. You know, like part of every Armenian's life growing up. So, and I was a pretty heavy kid growing up. So that's what kind of got me into the food industry afterwards. You know, my love for just eating
and you love to eat.
Yeah, exactly.
This is so interesting. Do you know by any chance if there is any region specific food that from Sisian that is like, you know, in Yerevan you cannot find or it's made differently?
I'm not sure about Sisian and Yerevan. I learned cooking more from my grandmother, who's from my dad's side of the family. And my dad's side of the family, they were genocide survivors. They were from Kilis. It was a town which was historically known as Kilikya, but now it's in Turkey. But they were from there. So the Armenian food that I grew up more around was more the Western Armenian side of our cuisine, you could say.
I see. I see. So, yeah. I mean, you kind of gave me a little bit of an answer when you talked about your grandma, but I wanted to ask you anyways, why and how did you decide to go into a food industry?
So I got into the food industry basically by the time I got to high school. You know, it's people always ask you what are you going to do with your life and this and that. And already having this admiration and passion for dining and eating and so on, when I learned that you could actually make a living off of it, I thought, you know, why not? So it's basically an industry where if you actually love what this is, it doesn't even feel like you're working. You know, you're just experimenting with recipes and so on, and that joy of finally accomplishing a recipe that you've been working on for, you know, weeks or months or so on, is like, that joy is just unmatched when it comes to anything else. So that kind of is where I went with that.
I see. So what is your earliest memory of yourself cooking something, or that, you know, that you can think of that you made it? Was it before going to before becoming a chef, or during, or like when you were a little kid?
Yeah, I mean, before going to culinary school, you know, in high school, I would just watch the cooking channel all the time. And then Thanksgiving would be the time when I would be given the opportunity to kind of practice, you could say, or try what I've been watching. You know, as a kid, it's mother doesn't trust you with a knife, you know. So when that time came around and she was already working in the kitchen, it was a great opportunity to sort of help the family out in taking care of the meal of the evening and so on. So
but why Thanksgiving?
I mean, it's the one holiday where the whole family just gets together and it's all about food. And aside from the historical aspect, you know, it's most people just love it for the food, to be honest. We could be honest about that. So
I love Thanksgiving. To me, is my absolute favorite holiday because it is all about food. You know, people are just together, families get together, and I love it so much that I actually have been doing two Thanksgiving dinners, one with family and one with friends, like a few days later, and I cook the whole thing all over again because, number one, I love all the food, and number two, it's just such a great, such a great celebration. So what would you cook for the Thanksgiving? Because, you know, kind of like every person has their own thing that they like to make.
Yeah. So, I mean, for us, Thanksgiving, up until I met my girlfriend who is from Texas, it's always, you know, you have the Armenian side dishes, like, you know, I mean, or you could say Lebanese Armenian, like tabbouleh and hummus, all these stuff. And then you have the basu stolma because it's kind of Christmas season already. So that kind of shows up in a way. And then the turkey would be the main thing on the table. But because my girlfriend is from the South, she's half Irish and half Black. So now that eventually led me into getting into the more Southern American dishes. And so now it's, you know, you'll see fried chicken on the table along with the turkey and grits and mashed potatoes, mac and cheese. And then along with all the other Armenian or Middle Eastern dishes, whatever you want to call it. So it's just one giant melting
pot
on our table.
That sounds amazing. That is, I love, I spent 7 years in Texas. I went to the grad school there and I worked there. So I love the food and I'm so familiar with all that you just listed. And that sounds like a perfect Thanksgiving table to me too. Like something that we would do there as well. How hard was it to go to a cooking school? Because, you know, you can have the concept, you know, you can be a great cook and get the senses of, you know, the flavors and recipes. But, you know, going through the school is not always, you know, easy because you're like thinking ahead and there's things that you have to learn to master, you know, discipline and et cetera. Why don't you share a little bit of your experience for the cooking school?
Yeah, well, to be honest, if you really want to go deep into this industry, you honestly don't need to go to cooking school. I honestly just went to cooking school because, you know, listening to every chef, especially when you read Anthony Bourdain's Kitchen Confidential, he expresses how in cooking school, you don't really learn the real life aspect of what it is to be in a kitchen. You know, in cooking school, you're just taught how to cook, and that's pretty much it. And but once you go into the real world and once you're trying to feed 300 people in a short amount of time in 4 or 5 hours, that's when you start to realize that I don't want to say it's a waste of time for people who have invested that time and done it. But, you know, if I didn't have because that was the closest I got to going to college, you could say. So my parents were like, no, you can't just, you know. To them, it was like you're 17, 18 years old. You got to go somewhere at least. You know, you're too young. So if I didn't have that, I would have just went straight from high school to working in a restaurant. And you honestly get more experience through that than you would at a school because it's more real life is what I'm trying to say.
Mm-hmm. So. Yeah, it is. It's absolutely. I think the school has a lot of advantages by, you know, giving you a discipline, you know, teaching you the basics, like you said, but then you get extra, you know, it's the same type of like in the winemaking. There's a lot of winemakers there. There are a lot of winemakers who are great. They make amazing wine and they never studied at school.
Right.
But then on the other hand, you know, when you go to a wine school, there's lots of things that you learn that in case this goes wrong, you kind of know the back end of it. And so then you see the real life. So it's like, it's a two-sided thing. So once you graduated the cooking school, what was your next step? Were you thinking of going to work for someone or open your own thing? And what happened afterwards?
So I actually, after high school, I went to where I studied was in France. So my first year, I did 2 years there. And my first year was cooking and pastry. And then after that, I wanted to actually go deeper and learn about the whole other aspect of dining, which was wine. So my second year in France was just totally committed to the wine world. And I signed up for a wine course at the same cooking school, Cordon Bleu in Paris. So for 1 year, it was just our course was once a month. They would take you to different vineyards. Like I've been to Beaucastel, I've been to Pichon Longueville, like most of the names you could think of. I've been to all the cognac houses. And it was just a great program, and it really gave me a whole other aspect into the human palate. You know, like in cooking school, you learn recipes, you learn how to cook, you learn about the seasons, vegetables, all that stuff. But with wine, it was just a complete other world into like what the tongue is, you know, sort of to say, the whole thing, how every bottle is just a story of that the harvest or vintage of that year. And it was just very interesting. And then when you learn about food and wine pairing, it's once you learn that aspect, you realize that they can't exist without each other. So
absolutely.
So after cooking, absolutely.
Go ahead.
Yeah, and then after wine school was done, my visa in Paris unfortunately expired. So I basically did my internship at Chateau Siorac in Bordeaux in the Lallande de Pomerol appellation. I worked there during the 2015 harvest, and then towards the end of that year, I did an internship at Rouen, which was a restaurant in Paris. It's one of the oldest restaurants there, and I did a sommelier internship there. So that's what my second year consisted of in Paris.
Oh, that sounds like an amazing, amazing experience. Now, did you ever consider just staying there and working for a few more years?
Yeah, I did want to, but I was lazy when it came to immigration policies, and that's what unfortunately. I mean, I don't want to say unfortunately. I still had a great career coming back here, but I would have loved to have stayed there for a few more years just to fully go into it.
Yeah, did you ever consider switching and just becoming a thumb rather than cooking?
I did think about it, but to be honest, I am not good at speaking with people, especially customers, needy customers, to be specific. So, like, that whole internship I did in Paris, you know, the head sommelier would always tell me, like, Arthur, you're scaring the customers away. Please try to smile a little bit more. So
tell us something funny, like the funniest experience that happened while you were there, if you can remember, because there's always a lot of funny things that happen in the industry.
Well, I mean, in Paris, it's always, you know, the somms would always, for one example I'll never forget is the way I would hold the champagne bottle. You hold it as when it's a magnum, you know, I would hold it by the neck so that I don't spill it. And obviously, the head sommelier made a very vulgar statement. I don't want to say it over the phone about what it looks like I'm doing, but that was one thing. And then that's just the culture of that country was just that. And when I was cooking there, what happened was it's 6 a.m, you get there early and you're chopping onions, let's say. And if it looked like you were falling asleep, chef would grab the paring knife by the tip. And he would kind of prick you in the thigh, like where he's not really stabbing you, but he would just prick you to like wake you up in a way. And it's just, I mean, to me, it's funny now, but at the time I was like, where the hell did I get myself into? You know, it's.
Yeah, that doesn't. So how did that experience, all of that, you know, being in a different, I mean, because you are, you know, your Armenian heritage, you know, grew up in the Armenian community in California, yeah. Los Angeles, where it's like it's different environment. And now you're in France, you know, working and studying there. How did that experience influence you for what you are doing now and like change your perspective on different things?
Well, it influenced me in a way, like how I said, France was a very strict culture when it came to that. And it was also a very romantic culture in the way that food and wine pairing was done. You know, you learn about bitterness and acidity, sweetness, and how these things correspond with each other. And so coming back here, I tried to implement that into my cooking as much as I can. And another big influence it has on work ethic is to just always keep your head down and keep working until you get to that goal that you want to get to. Otherwise, if you take things too personal in this industry, you're never going to get anywhere. You know, like if you're getting yelled at for something you've done wrong, the chef is not doing that to bully you or make you feel bad. It's just, you know, it's for your own good. It's not personal. It's a lot of, there's big risks in this industry. A lot of money gets put into this industry. Restaurants only keep 7 cents of every dollar made, contrary to popular belief. So there's kind of a reason why that strict environment exists in our industry. So that was the biggest influence, you know, the seriousness and the drive is, and the hustle was the main takeaway from working in France, I could say.
Wow, that's amazing. That is, I think, a very valuable experience to have, because sometimes you can just, you know, get too comfortable and get too sensitive to things that are going on. And just like you said, it's important not to take things personally and understand that if there is a criticism, it comes from a place of knowledge, of helping you to get things right and to get things done. Amazing, amazing experience, amazing story. It's like, you know, when you're telling that, it's like, I can just picture everything going on there. I don't know why, you know, I would have never met. I mean, I've never heard this story before, but I can just see myself in there in the environment because yes, wine and food are so close with each other. I think one cannot exist without the other one. And having learned both aspects in a place like that, where the wine and dining culture comes from, I think it's an amazing, amazing experience. I would love you to share more with us after we have a minute before we go on a break about what you are currently doing and about the documentary that was aired a year ago, where No Passport Required. So that's how I learned about you. So I would love to hear a little bit about that. And also, like I said at the beginning, maybe you can share with our listeners little tips, some recipes, something easy that can be done at home within, you know, whatever equipment you have. So let's talk about it when we get back after the short break.
Sure.